Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
That's driven well to center. Couser at the wall. Couser! Oh, he nearly took it away. Torkelson bests him for a real game-breaking two-run shot.
You know, you see the two quick outs, three of the five innings against a pretty tough lineup, and you feel good about him. He just kind of couldn't slow down the damage once it started. It happened really fast tonight, and that was probably the story of the game. You know, my guess is probably just experience at this point. It's hard for me to know the exact specifics of every individual pitcher, you know, him included. That's probably a better question for our pitching staff. But, you know, I think more than likely just continuing to get thrown out there and continuing to do it. I think the right-handed bats probably didn't help as much against him. The kid that came in, X, did a good job. Looks like the sinker was sharp. You know, I felt like we started to get to him as the game went on. I liked the at-bats against Conley. I thought it was good. We had a chance, pretty good chance to load the bases right there. Didn't happen.
That's Tony Mantolino talking about Detroit's philosophy going with the opener. Herder, who's a good relief pitcher, and he's sub-2 earned run average. And the Orioles, as we know, they're not good against lefties, whether it's Tarek Skubal, me. Anybody left-handed throws a baseball at the Orioles is probably going to have some level of success. But, you know, switching from, you know, the lefty to righty, and, you know, you've got to judge your lineup based on expectations in regards to what A.J. Hinch is going to follow up with. And we knew Gibson Long was going to be part of the equation, because he was originally scheduled to be the starting pitcher. And then they flipped it a little bit. But you can't start pinch hitting in the second inning or third inning. You just got to ride with what you have. And as you heard Manzo say, hey, we were cool with the matchups that we anticipated. Just didn't get the job done, which has kind of been the story of the year for the 2025 Orioles offense, which we'll get into more in depth as we proceed with said show. And he was also talking about Cade Povich. And Cade Povich is a guy that we've talked about. Nolan, you get in here on this one too. Keeper, as we see it. But the struggles are starting to increase here. His K rate's starting to increase, but the earned run average is too. And he hits a lot of bats. Even with the strikeout rate rising a little bit, he's not, you know, Frank Tanana vintage brand K's, but he's getting his K's. But he gives up a lot of contact. Now, a lot were bloopers and bleeders and everything of that nature. And we heard in the opening of the show, Kevin Brown's call on Masson, where just watching on TV, I thought Couser snagged it.
I did too.
I thought he got it. And then the replay showed he didn't even get a glove on it. But still, great baseball card picture for Colton Couser. And for Torkelson, another home run. And the Tigers come in, get the cheap hit, get the home run, and do what they have to do to achieve victory. And they are the best team in baseball. Just look at their record. Their playoff team last year won a series. They're a team on the rise. A lot of young, veteran, mixy kind of things. And the Orioles got Casey Mize and Tarek Skubal the next 2 days, which we'll talk about. But getting to Cade Povich, Nolan McGraw, with Trevor Rogers dealing down on the farm. Remember him? I'm like, oh, man, this guy's terrible. But now it's like, oh, is he Mike Flanagan reincarnated? So what are we doing now, Nolan, with Cade Povich? Do we keep him in for the duration? Or do you bring Rogers up? And then see what Povich can do, maybe sending him to the pen just for a bit. Because I don't think sending him to the minors really accomplish as much, I wouldn't think.
No. Well, it's kind of the same thing when you talk about like Kerstad and Mayo. You know, what are they actually going to learn and get better at by facing AAA pitching? Well, same thing for Povich. I mean, you know, issue last night, it's not like it was walks. It's not like it was command. Seemed to have everything working. Just can't finish the inning. You get two outs and then a lot of damage with two outs. That just can't happen at the major league level. You face an opposing lineup, you get two outs on them, they should fold. Or maybe they get one guy on and that's it. But I don't know. I mean, his issues have been so all over the place this year. One start, it might be command for him. Start like last night, he just can't put them away. Other outings, he's got an inflated pitch count, so he can't go deep. To me, I just see a young, inexperienced pitcher. And I want to see him keep getting that major league experience. The problem is, for that successful 10-day stretch that they had a week or so ago, nobody was pitching poorly enough that you would remove them for a Trevor Rogers. Ideally, you know, Charlie Morton would have continued to stink it up. He would have been an easy, all right, you're out of here. We roll with Rogers. I have a hard time bouncing Povich because he hasn't been great, but he hasn't been obscenely bad.
Yeah, and he's controllable. He's young. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's many reasons to keep him around. But you mentioned the starting pitching during that six-game winning streak, 8-10, 9, whatever it was. Four straight non-quality starts. Going back through Sacramento and then last night.
Yep.
But we can also get back to this offense. You got Mullins back. You got Westberg back, who homered late. Made it a competitive game in the ninth inning. They can't score. There's no consistency with this lineup. I mean, Holiday's doing his thing. Gunnar had two more knocks last night. Adley's having a great May. But where's the clutch hit? What were they, 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position? Yeah. Nothing incredible. I mean, where's the big 4-5-run crooked number uprising in an inning? Like, let's deliver KO punches here and then kind of cruise control from there. And that seems to be a struggle. Orioles aren't getting thumped like they were when they accumulated this last place record. But there's something not happening with them. And I believe this is the first time Westberg, Kowser, Mullins at all. I mean, Gunnar wasn't even active in the first series of the year. These guys have all been in the same lineup this season. I mean, it is kind of crazy time. So it's only one game. And if you were going to steal one, if you will, against Detroit, last night was the game. Now you got Eplin tonight. Can he match Mize? We'll see. And then tomorrow it's Kramer against Skubal and, you know, you're hoping for the best in that one.
Bob, back to your point about the bats. I mean, until the ninth inning, Holiday and Gunnar had 4-5 hits. You know, so two of your players, you know, got all the hits. You know, you had a lot of people not getting any hits throughout the game.
Right. I mean, look, they scratched and clawed for what they had early. I mean, the way they manufactured their first run, I thought was great. That was kind of picture perfect. You know, Holiday gets on, steals his way into scoring position. Gunnar, with a great at-bat, worked it full, fouled off a couple more pitches, and then drives him in. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we've been calling for, but like Bob said, it's just one run. How do you tack on? How do you add to it? I thought there was a great opportunity to have a big inning in the eighth. Should have loaded the bases. The O'Hearn situation, you know, ball four.
Yep.
Get called a strike. And
that's nauseating.
It is. Well,
it's like every freaking game.
It's frustrating on two levels. Obviously, the umps.
Exactly what I'm talking
about. Well, and then, but you could say, all right, it was 3-0. There was clearly ball four, but all right, strike. Next two pitches
were balls
that he fouled off were even more far off than the one that got called a strike. And O'Hearn swinging at him. And I understand it. All right, you just saw a ball get called a strike. You don't want to stare at another one. But at the same time, I don't know. There's no reason for him two in a row to swing at it. That's a bit much for me.
But I'll go with O'Hearnsey being kind of aggressive because he has no idea what the strike zone's going to be now.
I understand. Yeah,
so I'm like, I don't know what this guy's going to call. So
for one pitch to protect, You're absolutely right.
Okay.
But two in a row that were even worse than the one before? Nah.
All right. Nah. I hear you.
Well, how about let's just play this one out. Because Westberg, his first at-bat in the ninth, he hits the homer. If O'Hearn walks and he's up with the bases loaded, does he hit a grand slam?
I mean, the same pitcher, but probably a different approach.
But either way, Orioles lose 5-3 final score. And you mentioned, and this news broke as we were getting off the air yesterday. By the way, it's Biddy and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw, Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band. Kerstad was sent back to the minors, and Emmanuel Rivera's DFA'd as Mullins and Westberg were recalled. And I asked Ryan Ripken this on BBT last night, and I'll ask you guys in the audience, obviously. If Kerstad was hitting 300 in June, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not like Kari Yastrzemski, or Mike Yastrzemski for that matter, but all right, if he was a plus defensive outfielder, would he be gone? If he could play right field with a level of competency instead of being like, remember Bad News Bears, you got the Lupus out there and the Beethoven or whatever it was is playing in the background. That's kind of, and Mateo went on the IL as we were getting off BBT, residuals of him running into Kerstad a week or so ago at Camden Yards. If Kerstad was a plus outfielder, he's still on the team, in my humble opinion.
I agree with that. Bob, let me ask you, speaking of that, is Mateo's injury real?
It's real.
It is?
It's been percolating for a couple of weeks. Because when he ran into Kerstad on the play, it's his non-throwing arm.
Right.
And remember, he had the surgery last year mm-hmm. for the same arm, and it's been kind of welling up, and to the point where he couldn't roll. But the timing was like right before the game, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what was surprising to me because you had a DFA Rivera. I mean, what change? Exactly. Wouldn't you just naturally swap, you know, Mateo for Westberg in terms of roster spots, and you don't have to, you know, risk losing a guy in Rivera? Not that he's Mickey Mantle or anything, but he's had good moments here.
But Kerstad with a glove. Good one. Is he on the team? Your thoughts at 410-583-1057. When we come back, talk about Vinny's observations from yesterday's OTAs out at One Winning Drive. It's going to be high 80s today at 1230. Next week's mandatory minicamp. Does this mean that maybe some of these veteran types will start to matriculate in and get a head start on it?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Andrew Voorhees last year, starting left guard, was pretty much handed the job. Then got hurt, and McCary came in, took over, and, you know, Ravens went to playoffs yet again. Has he been handed Voorhees, because McCary gone, but has Voorhees been handed the job, or is there some real competition here at left guard?
Yeah, somebody said that to me out there yesterday. Bob, I don't know who the competition is. You know, I mean, I don't know who it would be. I mean, there's nobody, because the three draft picks, you know, Emory Jones, I thought, had a chance, but he's not even going to be healthy. So, I mean, that doesn't, so forget him. And it's with a shoulder, so he's never going to be strong enough initially. So that ain't happening. It's Voorhees' job to lose. You know what's interesting about that? I was thinking about that. Their whole offensive line, you know what they all got in common? They're all homegrown. They're all drafted by the Ravens, which is pretty interesting. And the receivers are drafted by the quarterback, receivers, all the tight ends are drafted. You know, other than Henry, he's the only one.
Well, Hopkins is a...
your third receiver. Yeah, yeah.
But still, to your point, yep, that is a homegrown team. Ben Cleveland, he's drafted.
Yeah.
Samick drafted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so...
Justice Hill.
Yeah, to your point, I mean, on the O-line, if there's competition, is it to the point at left guard, though? Were they need to bring someone in, or are they happy with what they have?
Well, I think I think they were happy with Voorhees, Bob, but he gets hurt all the time. You know, that's the thing. And then, like, he gets hurt, miss a couple weeks, you know, and then McCary comes in and things are rolling, you know, and he never gets his job back. So I think that's he's getting every first team rep. So it's his job to lose. And Bob, Ben Cleveland cannot beat him out. You know, they don't have anybody on the roster that can beat him out. Let's just say that.
Now, if he stays healthy, takes over for Patrick McCary, who was the ultimate Swiss Army knife, as we talked about the entirety of his career, what he brings as opposed to McCary is what? Well, aside from being a little bit younger here.
Oh, he's a bigger.
Yeah.
He's a bigger body. You know, he's you know, that's the thing. He can... You'll probably knock people off the ball a little bit more. They get more ass than they had. So that would be the thing. McCary's a hell of a pass blocker and stuff, but, you know, anchor and those types of things, you know, not as good. The thing that the left guard's got going for him, Bob, is, you know, whereas last year, you know, the left guard, okay, and maybe having McCary in there was because they kind of need him. Because if we remember, Ronnie's coming back, and we didn't know, you know. And they didn't know. Can he anchor? You know, what's he going to be? And remember, Lindenbaum had missed, like, what, 3 weeks? So it wasn't like now you're coming in. You got Ronnie, who had a hell of a year. You got Lindenbaum, who's healthy. You know, so it's a little bit easier for the left guard coming in right now than it was last year during the fall.
So the upside for the O-line,
I think it's
should
big.
Be pretty high here.
I, you know, because I don't know if Rosengarten, you know, in the things he talked about, you know, how much weight he's gained, but he looks thicker and stuff, you know, and he's second year after having starting the first year. He's a totally different, you know, like he's a vet pro now, you know, and Falele's a talented dude, you know, and he just gotta get in shape, you know, and Bob, I don't think he can get in shape in the wintertime, and he just gotta fight through it, you know, this 90 degrees, this week is gonna be good for him because that's the crap that he's gotta fight through at training camp, and once he gets through, like last year, when did he take off? Kind of when it cooled down a little bit, you know? And that's the thing that he's got to fight through. And when you're 380, you know, and you're 6'6 or 390, or I think he was 394 when he reported to camp, you know, takes him a while to get going. Because I know watching him at practice the other day, his lower back was bothering him because after their set of plays, he was going in the back, you know, and he's doing stretches for his lower back. So, you know, is that because you're over, you know, you're heavy at the time? You know, and he did miss a day, you know, maybe being with the trainer or whatever, who knows. But he needs to get used to the heat.
Now, Daniel Falele, a year ago at this time, if I would have said to both of you in our audience, it's Woman Crush Wednesday, video 81057, the Fag, get in here with Nolan, 4-5-8-3-1-0-5-7. Hey, I heard on the street that Daniel Falele is going to be a Pro Bowler this year. You would have thought I was an insane person. I still may be. But as we look at the team, could there be another one of these Falele's questionable and then kind of rises from the ashes and becomes that dude? I mean, could Ben Cleveland possibly? No,
he's not good enough athlete.
But, I mean, maybe Voorhees is that guy. You know what I mean?
Possibly. I mean, Voorhees is the only one. You know, well, Rosengarten's got a chance to do that, I think. Rosengarten may be the best, because, Bob, he's a hell of an athlete, Rosengarten, because we were talking to him, if Stanley goes, he's left tackle. You know, because basically for Washington State, or Washington, he was their left tackle because Penix is a left-handed quarterback. So, yeah, Rosengarten could be, but there's a lot of good right tackles in the league, you know, that he would have to be able to beat up. But, you know, I mean, an alternate like Falele was, he's especially your number one offense again. Yeah, because Bob, remember in what was it, 19 or 20, where they had three O-linemen make the Pro Bowl, you know, and if they have
Stanley,
that.
Stanley, Yonda.
And who was the other? Stanley, Yonda. There was one other.
They had like 12.
Yeah, they had a bunch. But, I mean, you know, you expect these guys to come out of the gate. I mean, we're going to be disappointed as hell if that offense comes out and struggles. Why? Same dudes, mm-hmm. you know, and you're year three with Monken. Should come out of there with a ton of confidence and kick it at. And Bob, let me just say this. Watching Derrick Henry run through those drills, that is a big – because I see Keaton Mitchell run through the drills, and he looks fast and explosive. Ali, not as fast. But when Henry runs through there, that is a big, fast – I mean, like if you said that guy's 30, 31 years old. No, he's not. He doesn't look like that. I mean, he looks really good.
When we come back, you mentioned the offense of the Ravens. Are they too good to be true, potential-wise, based on the talent they have? Health always dictates things because it had changed dramatically for you. Get in here at 410-583-1057. How good could this Ravens offense be? And for the Orioles, we can get into this as well. That little six-game uprising had us all hopeful. Nolan even declared them back. We're going to revisit that one. Just what? 5 days later, I think they're more close to being done than being back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now he's back to where he wants to be physically. And as you've said, Vinny, he looks a little more slim, streamlined.
Yeah.
He did as a rookie.
Yeah, because I remember last year I said he looked like he doesn't have a man body. Whereas you look at Voorhees got a man body, but Voorhees is probably 3 years older than him too. But now his body looks much better, and how does that help him? Well, I think the biggest thing is putting his foot in the ground and anchoring, because he didn't have a great anchor, and now he's got more ass, you know, because if you got to – to be able to anchor, you got to have a strong lower body. And to have a strong lower body, man, that's your thighs and that's your ass when you're an O lineman. You look at an O lineman and that's not great. He got a flat ass. He got no ass. You know, if they got a bubble, that's what you want with your O lineman. You want a big bubble.
We're talking about strippers, right? You know, right there. But Rosengarten, the first remembrance I have of him regular season last year was the game against the Chiefs. He came in and it was like, what?
Yeah.
He was spinning around in circles as they were getting all over him. But, boy, did he stabilize. Would you say he was an upgrade over what was happening in 2023 at right tackle?
I think, Bob, the biggest upgrade that he provided was he was much better at the end of the season than anything that we had. That's the big, he got better. Whereas the year before we were getting hurt, we were alternating doing all, you know, Falele was playing right tackle out of position. So yeah, it's a huge upgrade. And this year you're talking about, you know, a guy that possibly is going to be a Pro Bowl right tackle.
Now the offense, and Nolan, get in here on this one too. The potential personnel-wise seems to be limitless. And the NFL gods don't let you have limitless potential. Somebody's going to get zapped, maybe multiple players. It's just unfortunate. It happens. It's a physical game. I mean, these guys are so premier with the muscle mass. They get hurt in non-contact. drills, just cutting with the strength and the power and all of that. But assuming they stay 90% healthy, the most important guy, of course, is number eight.
Right.
What's Todd Monken going to do with this team? They've got some. They got a tough schedule. Now, we'll get to the defense as we roll on with the show and, of course, with the offseason, because they got a lot of good quarterbacks they're facing this year. But how good could this be? The best offense in the National Football League, most balanced, most productive, and all of that good stuff.
Well, I mean, if you look at last year, Bob, I mean, you're seventh in passing, first in rushing. I don't know that anybody is as balanced as that. They were, what, number two in scoring, one? They were high in a lot of categories. Now, talking with offensive coaches yesterday, the biggest thing that they got to overcome is everybody's telling these players how great they are. Everybody is telling them how great they are. And, you know, are they zeroed in? You know, are they got the right attitude coming in? Or are they like, I'm great? That's the thing. I mean, you got to get slapped in the face against Buffalo, you know, to like, okay, we got to get our crap back together again, you know? Or, you know, you guys are looking good. And hopefully, Bob, and I hope, you know, a thing that's going to help them a lot is the practice against Washington. That's going to help a lot, you know, and then maybe that, you know, if Washington's defense kind of has their way or they, you know, they're having some struggles, maybe so. But if they go kick Washington's butt and they're boom, boom, bam, bam, and, you know, kicking everybody's butt, the confidence is going to grow. And then, you know what, maybe it's like, hey, we are that good.
Yeah, I mean, understand the coaching perspective. You don't want guys resting on anything here, and, you know, we're not even in training camp yet. But if there was an offense that's worthy of that kind of praise, it would be the Ravens offense. And it wasn't just 1 year. We've seen it for 2 years in a row with Todd Monken. It's the same coaching, same scheme, pretty much the exact same players, only adding here and there guys back from injury or free agents. So it's not like you've had any major losses. Coaching's the same, like I said. I mean, I got no problems handing out high praise or shooting for the moon. I mean, going from 23 to 24, I didn't think it was much, or I didn't know there was that much room to get better in terms of Lamar or the offense as a whole. Well, he did. Didn't win an MVP, but he was better. The whole offense was better. So why should I stop now? Why should I say that 25 can't be better than 24?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, Buffalo. Allen can throw. I don't think Buffalo's receivers are as good as the Ravens.
Agreed.
James Cook's a hell of a running back. So they can, and Allen himself can run. So they can do some things, but Ravens seem to be a notch above.
Yeah.
Kansas City. You know what I mean? Mahomes, we know. I mean, are we ever going to see the Patrick Mahomes of 18, 19, 20? That vintage again. Health will decide that, but can they run like the Ravens? No. Cincinnati can bring some offensive smoke to the equation here. And in the NFC, I mean, Philly, Hurts can run. They got the tush push. Barkley's a 2,000-yard guy. Their receivers are better than Baltimore's, I would think. Smith and A.J. Brown, fair?
Yep.
Rams got some pretty strong offensive potential here. They just added Devontae Adams. Stafford's a little bit older. But if we want to talk about, you know, man for man, inch for inch, and we just talked about the O-line, I'm thinking the Ravens are kind of the team there.
It kind of reminds me, Bob, of back when I was in San Fran. Because you
Detroit,
know,
like, let's not forget them. Yeah, they're like pretty badass.
In 93, too. Going into 94, we had the same cast of characters. You know, I mean, and we ended up having, you know, well, our running back, we had a great running back, Ricky Waters. We had a great fullback, William Floyd. Our tight end was a Pro Bowler. Steve Young was a Pro Bowler. Jerry Rice was awesome, you know. And we had the same cast of characters back. And were we better offensively the next year? We didn't start out. We started out slow. But then the machine started, once the machine started to get going, was unstoppable. And the thing that helped our team, the thing that helped got our team over the hump, because our offense was number one and then number one the next year, was that the defense got better. That was the big thing. The defense got better.
We'll get to them in the 11 o'clock hour, but when we come back, Remember last week, Nolan McGraw said the Orioles are back. I said they're getting better. Nolan said they're back. Orioles have lost two in a row. Lost again last night. Got Mize and Scooble coming up next 2 days. Is Nolan ready to amend that statement, or is he still going to ride with his birds throughout this homestand, which includes the Angels, who are playing better baseball here? So are the Orioles still back in Nolan's eyes? What about you? 410-583-1057. We'll be crushed Wednesday. And if Hester Kerstad was an upper-level defensive outfielder, would he still be here, even though the offensive struggles have been well-documented? Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band, send your request. Lots for text line at 410-583-1057. A.J. Gersh, local guy, Fox 45. He'll be joining us, talk Orioles and Ravens with him. Top of the hour, whip around 11:15, so stick around for that. All right, Jordan Westberg's back, activated from the IL yesterday, along with Cedric Mullins. So the Orioles get two All-Stars back into the lineup. And Westberg did hit the ball hard, then got hit by a pitch, welcome back. And then he went yard in the ninth inning off a guy that doesn't give up home runs. So that's a good sign. And he was raking down at Norfolk. So he's back. But Nolan McGraw, let's revisit last Friday, I believe it was. Talking about the Orioles, they had a 6-game winning streak. They had 6 of 8 or 8 of 10. They were kind of a little heater there. Going to Sacramento, taking on the A's, who, by the way, have lost 2 straight to the Angels. We're coming to town this week, just kind of connecting it all together. You said the Orioles are back.
I did.
I said they're getting better, which they were. And they still kind of are better than they were, say, a month and a half ago. Maybe even a month ago. Are they still back, in your eyes? This is as healthy as they've been offensively in forever. And Tony Manzalino said before the game, still waiting for pitchers to come back. So they're not healthy in that area, 100%. But the bats are here. But yet the bats still appear to be rather tepid.
Yeah, probably got caught up in the moment just a little bit. I mean, and who could blame you? You know, we had a lot of texters. A lot of people just itching to feel something good about this baseball team again. And why not after a 6-game win streak? And why not after it wasn't just dumb luck wins? I mean, they had great pitching performances. You were getting some guys healthy again. It felt like if things were going to turn around and they were going to be back, that's what the early stages would look like. That's the exact blueprint. But when you lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, again, it puts a damper on that. You lose the game that you think you have the best shot to win in this series against Detroit. Series isn't over, but again, your pitching matchups aren't favorable the rest of the way. So maybe it was like we were walking through the desert, and I was severely dehydrated after watching Orioles baseball for over 2 months. No good baseball in sight.
I think the biggest thing, Bob, is when they had that 6-game winning streak, what did we talk? Starting pitching was awesome. And now the starting pitching is totally inconsistent. I think it's all about, you know, the starting pitching has been bad every loss they've had, you know, lately. You know, and that's the killer. And I just don't think they can be consistent enough.
4 straight. Non-quality starts, they're 1-3. Yep. In the one game they won, they were breaking out whipping sticks, which they don't seem prone to do. We knew the starting pitching coming out of Sarasota was going to be a problem. Even if it was Eflin, Morton, let's just go back speculating. Grayson, let's not forget he did pitch in spring training, then had the one game where he went from 98 to 90, and we haven't seen him since. Even with the expected arms, Sagano, we had no clue what that guy was bringing to the equation. And then Povich and everyone, Suarez, who's, you know, he's done. Even with all of those guys healthy, it's like, man, they're still maybe the worst rotation in the division. And then everyone got hurt. They're definitely the worst rotation in the division. And they pitched like the worst rotation in baseball for a month and a half, maybe 2 months. It's the offense. Now, granted, Gunnar missed the first couple weeks. Kowser was out for 2 months. Westberg just came back. Sed's been banged up. Tyler O'Neill's been on the IL 3 times. They've just never had their full complement of expected 26 on the team at the same time. And what you have is a disaster. But to get back to it, there's still enough, you would think, proven bats to navigate through something. offensively instead of being atrocious with runners in scoring position. You can't hit lefties. I mean, a lot of things that were a dilemma for them in the second half of last year.
Right. Well, to be honest, they had enough even without Cowser and Westberg and even throw in Mullins with him being out. They had enough to be competent. Not at their best, not elite, not what we've seen at their peak the last couple of years, but they had enough to win more than they were, to actually be competitive. And that's what's so frustrating. We're saying, well, it's the offense, it's the offense. Well, it is until, I don't know, what did they put up a 10 spot tonight, but the pitching staff implodes and gives up 11 or 12. I mean, that's been the story of the season. It changes day to day. Oh, blame the offense tonight. Next night, it's the pitching.
Yeah.
Night after it was starting. Next night, it's the bullpen, you know, or fielding errors. I mean, they have had no consistency with anything across the board.
Losing is what they've had a consistent time with.
And you know what scares me a little bit, Bob, is like, O'Hearn is kind of trending the other, you know, right. Like he carried them for a while.
And he's their all-star right now.
No doubt.
But he got the collar last night. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see if, Manzo's going to let him get his hacks against lefties like Gunnar and Jackson Holliday are going to get. But Orioles being back, Nolan, you might have been in the minority with that one. Now, are you still sticking with that, or are you going to wait for, say, the end of the month before you
wrong on a week-to-week basis throughout this season that I'm just going to keep throwing stuff out there. Maybe eventually I'll be right.
Look, I owe both of you booze.
For what?
The football bet I haven't paid. And then the hider got whacked. I didn't pay that either. So I'm up to about $80, I believe. If the Orioles score 10 runs tonight, I'll buy you $100 each worth of booze.
Ooh.
And you're hearing it on point.
Oh, man. I'll be sitting there tomorrow. Tonight, cheering my ass up. Yeah.
Mind you, nothing forced you into this.
Yeah, you said 10-1 against this team?
Right.
Mize and that bullpen?
But what do you have to gain by saying this?
Should have said double or nothing. Can I go double or nothing?
No.
And I got it. There, I should have said double. Go! All right, we're going to come back. AJ Gersh, Box 45, get his thoughts on the Orioles and the Ravens. The unlimited potential, it seems, of this Ravens offense. Did he ever think the Orioles were back at all? Can they ever get back? Whip around 11:15, and then at 11:30, we're going to hear more from Roger Rosengarten and Andrew Voorhees, two key members of the Ravens offensive line.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.